Looking for Easter bunnies, you're a day early.
And you had a real sword out there.
Who's he?
What was you threatening them about?
Why don't you ask him?
Don't hump.
Tell me, Lieutenant, you don't object to my going back to bed, do you?
The habit of sleeping late mornings, very often right up to 6.
How long you known Carl Chandler?
Sometimes I think all my life.
Mighty nice thing you did getting a even.
I always get even, Lieutenant. Knock the light off when you go out. I'll leave the door unlocked. You can walk in anytime.
Come on, Casey.
Say, if I have the boy pick up my laundry this morning, when can I expect it back? Wednesday, huh? When does the laundry pick it up? What time this afternoon? Oh, fine. We'll send the boy up at 8. And while you're on the wire, get me searched 3181. Yeah, thanks. Oh, hello, Dusty. Yeah, my company's gone. I'm alone, I think. Tell me, what'd the world look like first opened your eyes? Uh-huh. Head like a balloon, huh? With what? What kind of a taste you have? Sour molasses. Well, maybe it was DDT. I don't know. I never drank any before. How's your stomach feel? What do you mean, am I checking up on you? Of course I am. I forgot to tell you, I don't trust anybody, especially women. Well, look, Dusty, I got a job for us. What time's the top rush hour for luncheon in this hotel? It is? All right, then park your car in the garage exactly at 1 o'clock and meet me in the lobby. You got it? All right. See you then. Soon, can you get me operator 19, St. Louis? That's my girl. Hi, Al. This is Rip. Oh, sure, I'm great. Did you get my phone message this morning? Uh-huh. No, not yet, not for a while. I got a little unfinished business down here first. Somebody who used to be tried competition calls himself Money. Yeah, in spades. Say, did you dig me up the name of a good man down here? McGee, 25 Palmetto Street. Okay, pal, you're a pal. Well, I'll be seeing you. Yeah, when I got aces back to back. So long. Hello, Lieutenant. Chief wants to talk to you. Would you hold the wire?
Well, at last. You said 1 o'clock. Where were you?
Where are you going? The dining room's over there.
Hello.
What's the matter with you, Rip? Can't you say a word?
Sure. Hello.
Might be easier to drive if I knew where we were going.
Well, any place out of town where we can eat.
Not to speak of why.
You're an inquisitive little gal, aren't you?
There's a place at Flamingo Beach, but that's too far out. I have to be back at 3.
Stand him up.
You're with me until after dark and then some.
It isn't immense, my hairdresser.
Oh, that makes it rugged.
Oh, please, Rex, last night.
Why don't you let it down? Maybe I'll let mine down, too.
Can't understand why Martinelli put that stuff in our... Does he think you're working for that St. Louis gangster?
Well, if he knows Al Barreto, he knows I'm not one of the mob, just a guy who owned a fleet of taxi cabs and sat in on a stud game once in a while.
Well, then I don't see why...
You know, the trouble with women is they ask too many questions. They should spend all their time just being beautiful.
And let the men do the worrying.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been thinking, women ought to come capsule size, about 4 inches high. When a man goes out of an evening, he just puts her in his pocket and takes her along with him, and that way he knows exactly where she is. He gets to his favorite restaurant, he puts her on the table and lets her run around among the coffee cups while he swaps a few lies with his pal, without danger of interruption. And when there comes that time in the evening when he wants her full-sized and beautiful, just waves his hand and there she is, full-sized.
Why, that's the most conceited statement I've ever heard.
But if she starts to interrupt, he just shrinks and puts her away.
I understand. What you're saying is, women are made to be loved.
Is that what I'm saying?
Yes, it's a confession that a woman may drive you out of your mind, but you wouldn't trust her. And because you couldn't put her in your pocket, you'd get all mixed up.
I don't understand what does it. What did it for Johnny?
The trouble is, Rip, it happened to Johnny. But it didn't happen to me. At least not as intensely.
Yes, that's what he was afraid of.
I was going away with him because he was the nicest person I'd ever met. Because I'm lonely. You're right about women being made for love. But what happens, Rip, when it never comes the way you want it? Like music that never reaches a pitch. What do? Go on singing songs and drinking Ramos gin fizzes?
Yeah. I can see why Johnny loved you. Why he couldn't reach you.
Oh, I loved him, Rip. I don't know. It's just, well, there's some people you feel you can talk to. They come along, sit beside you in your car. Only the funny thing is, it's never happened before. Oh, and that's crazy to say, too.
Looks like you're the one that's mixed up.
Oh, but I'm not
mixed
up.
Get back in my pocket. Say, do me a favor, will you park it over there for a while? I'd kind of like to be alone with the lady.
Yes, sir.
Careful what you say to me. I'm the marrying type.
When you used to work for Martinelli, did he take a lot of stuff home with him at night? Briefcase, papers, stuff like that? Or did he leave them locked up in his office safe?
I don't know. Except he kept my contract in his office. Why?
Well, last night, Louis, the barman, had a letter for me that Johnny gave him.
A letter?
Yeah.
What did it say?
I don't know. I didn't get it. Martinelli did.
How do you know?
When your phone call woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Louis was in my room, lying on the other bed, with a broken neck.
Oh, Rip.
Yeah. I'm a guy that likes to get his mail.
But if Martinelli does have it, he would have destroyed it by now.
Well, I don't think so. He'd want to read it first. Johnny would have written it in code. We had a unit code in our company. It's my guess that Martinelli's still trying to figure it out. Anyway, I'm going after it.
Not back there.
Yeah. Just had my friend Barreto on the phone. He gave me the name of a safe expert here. He was so good at it, his law took a little slice out of his life. He's retired now and living right here in this town.
Well, Rip, what good
is it? To begin with, I don't think Johnny killed your husband.
Why do you say that?
Because I knew him like my own birthmark.
Rip, there's something I didn't even tell the coroner because Johnny wouldn't let me. I was right there when it happened. Johnny was afraid they'd somehow blame me, tie us both up with it. You know how they do. Ex-nightclub singer, young college professors in love with her. They murder her husband. But that wasn't the way it was.
What way was it?
Stuart had always been crazy jealous. That night he was drunk, too. When he got started hitting me and jabbing a gun into me, he was mad enough to kill me, and I was terrified. And then suddenly... Johnny came into the room. He'd followed us home from the club. He took the gun away from Sturt. It was trying to. I don't know what happened, but it seemed to go off right in my ear. I passed out. And when I came to, Johnny was kissing me. That was the last time I saw him until he came back, 2 days ago. I remember he said goodbye. I think he's crying. You don't believe me, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, sure I believe you. But I still want that letter. Now let's get out of this lobster trap. We both need some salt air. They say salt's antiseptic.